You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
7 minutes after nine. Good morning to you. This is the Thursday edition of the Eusebius McKaiser Show. And of course, you have had time to sleep on the main news coming out of the budget speech. That is the dominant story in the news cycle. And that's because it will have material implications for all of us, whether you are poor, unemployed, lower income bracket earner, middle class, whatever that might mean. And maybe the people who are the wealthiest in the country will be, I don't know, they'll be affected somehow, but proportionally probably less. But there's hardly a person listening to my voice right now who will not be affected. So the budget matters. It matters materially to you and to me. It's also very confusing. If you are not literate in finance and in economics, then you can be forgiven for not understanding some of the minutiae. And that's exactly why we have you covered today between 10 and 11. We're going to do a couple of things in that hour. Firstly, we'll field as many of your simple questions, practical questions, what the implications are for you, for example, in terms of taxation. If you are lucky enough, like producers, to be getting upwards of 60,000 rand a month, what exactly does that mean for your take-home pay? As they look at me with their eyes rolling, what does that mean for how much less money you're going to have that is disposable? So they're very practical questions you can ask of my guests. And then there are a couple of questions where you and I can, even though we are not ECOS majors, where we can debate some of these things because they're ideological questions here. For example, who should be shouldering in society the biggest burden of plucking that gap that have been left behind as a result of the mafia state and as a result of all the looting and thieving that has gone on in this country for the better part of the past 10 years? Because that increase, one percentage point, that is huge. You've got a fuel levy that's going to be increasing. That's massive. There's going to be an upward impact on inflation eventually. So no one is going to be unaffected. And the weird trade-offs that the government is making, and there's some very important debates that you and I need to be able to have about whether or not the mechanisms that had been chosen by Minister Maluti Gupta are the right ones to try and deal with the crisis at the heart of the state. So that's coming up between 10 and 11. And then we kick off our shoes and we talk books, darling, in the last hour of the show, as we do every Thursday in the Literature Corner. And then, I don't know, we'll talk nonsense at 20 to 12 just to have a respite from all the numbers, the politics, and also the literature as well. But for the rest of this hour, it is an open line. Give us your reaction. We're also going to get reaction to the budget from a couple of politicians in the different political parties. But most importantly, I want to know what you think. I've got some views on the performance of the finance minister, but I'm going to hold back for the moment because the politicians that we want to speak to don't have much time to speak to you and I because they have to get on with some of their own committee work. And the first one that's joining me is, in fact, Yunus Karim, who, of course, as you know, is chair of the Standing Committee of Finance in Parliament and also a long-standing ANC leader and MP as well. Yunus, thank you so much for making time for us. I really appreciate it. I know you're very hardworking and busy, but thanks for giving us 3 or 4 minutes.
No problem. Thank you and good morning to your listeners.
Yunus, I want to ask a question just about the origins of the budget that was tabled yesterday. In the past, yes, we had some idea of how it gets put together up until the point where a minister of finance, whoever it is able to table the thing for the nation then. What was the process that led to this one being put together?
As I understand it, much the same as before. We have no choice because the budget ultimately, though it's presented by the Minister of Finance, a collective effort, more in fact collective than I think appears in the public domain. And it's largely a budget that emerged from the discussions that begin in July of the previous year and they run through until the budget itself is taken to cabinet. Now, there's the MINCOM BUD, Ministers Committee on the Budget. There's the MINCOM Council, which brings, in fact, the three spheres of government, provincial, local, and national. So there's a very thorough, very elaborate, very concerted process. So while it is true there's some relationship between SONA on Friday and the budget yesterday, it's strictly speaking an outcome of the ANC-NEC Lekgotla also in July last year and the Lekgotla that's held in January this year and then the cabinet Lekgotlas of July last year and this year. Those provide the framework. Much the same happened here, except that because of the new circumstances, challenging as they were, obviously the new president had some hand in shaping it. But the broad contours were decided in the months before President Zuma left, yes.
I ask, just so that we can get clarity, this budget did not have been a surprise to President Cyril Ramaphosa. This budget fundamentally stems from both the principle of collective cabinet responsibility and it also reflects the ANC's own wish list.
Yes.
Okay, now let's move on just to, I'm only going to ask you one broad question and then I'll let you go for today, Yunus. Some of the criticism of the budget that we've seen so far in the past 12 hours have centered on the VAT increase 1 percentage point. And the key criticism here is that basically the ANC government, as Musa Maimane very eloquently put yesterday on ENCA, just as he stepped out of parliament, is basically trying to create wealth through taxation. And then, of course, the other criticism is that at any rate, this taxation mechanism is regressive. What do you make of that criticism?
Well, I agree with the latter to a half an extent, the former statement of his. In short, we as the ANC are also very concerned, as our allies, the Congress of South African Trade Unions and the Communist Party and the labor movement and civil society, about VAT. We didn't want it particularly. In fact, we're glad it's not 2%. 1%, yes. We worried about whether National Treasury has done an impact study to show its effect on the poor and lower income earners. Secondly, we want to engage with Treasury. We'll begin to do so this very afternoon in Parliament on whether we can zero rate, or if you like, exempt more basic foodstuffs and items that the poorer strata of our society consume. Thirdly, we welcome the relief that will be given to through rebates on taxes to lower income earners. Fourthly, we accept that there's a slightly larger, from what we can tell, than usual increase in the social grants, though they do not necessarily help to cushion the poor. Fourthly, we must accept that if VAT has to be introduced, as it has been and Parliament agrees to it, which we can decide not to, of course, we'll have public hearings next Wednesday as part of a process of engagement with people. Then, you know, we want to know what exactly is this money going to be used for? Shouldn't we do more to erode the slop and wasteful expenditure? Shouldn't we do more to tackle corruption, which will bring a lot of returns for government's coffers? Also, we want to stress, though, that, look, this money that's brought should be used for fee-free higher education, which will benefit the poorer strata of our society.
Yeah.
Then there's NHI, which will disproportionately benefit also the poorer of society. So at the end of the day, while we have strong reservations about the VAT, we want to know what other things can be done to secure additional revenue through wasteful, irregular, and corrupt activities being drastically reduced. Secondly, we want to ensure that money is spent for the poorer and lower income strata that's drawn from VAT. Mm. Thirdly, Parliament itself, we, whether you come from one party or another, we must exercise far more rigorous and vigorous oversight over National Treasury and our fellow departments through our fellow portfolio committees in this Parliament. We can't fold our arms and just criticize government.
Sure.
Partly we are where we are, because we as Parliament have not fully fulfilled the role that's defined for us in the Constitution, the law, and the rules of Parliament. So we must take some responsibility for this, even if the primary responsibility resides with government.
Yunus, you're that rare breed of very honest politician. There was a stunning critique, just so that we do not misdescribe what you had said, because sometimes we have a penchant in the media, as you know, for being soundbitey. When you say we, in relation to ideally not having wanted VAT, who is the we that you are speaking about?
We means the committee. We also means the ANC.
Okay.
In the committee.
Okay.
And I think the ANC in Luthuli House, we don't necessarily want it, but we have to engage on the pragmatics of it. Look, overall, I think the minister captured it very well by saying, look, it's a tough budget, but hopeful. Mm-hmm. You see, the economy is lifting, right? No matter what you say, even if 1.1% projections for this financial year are very low compared to what we need, it's still better than 0.7%. Commodities are recovering in their price value, so it influences our possibilities of a recovery because we're a commodity economy in some senses, many senses. Then if you look around, the global economy is lifting. Africa's growth rate's around 3.3%. There's much more business and consumer confidence. Yes, there's an euphoria about President Ramaphosa being elected. It won't obtain unless we deliver on that. We can build on the confidence that we've secured now, and we can't waste it. And finally, look, let me put it to you. The decisions about where the country goes, as President Ramaphosa repeatedly stressed in his SONA address and again in his reply on Tuesday, is it involves all of us, all the parties in Parliament, whatever our differences, labour, business, civil society, government and Parliament need a concerted effort, no matter our differences, to pick this economy up. We cannot afford 1.1%. It's far, far too low.
Absolutely. Thank you, Yonis. Have a good day.
Thank you.
That was Yonis Karim, Chairperson of Parliament Standing Committee on Finance. And what an incredible, honest critique from within the ANC. If you missed that, we're definitely going to podcast it. You're not going to get more honest than that from an ANC MP about the nature of this budget. Absolutely astounding. 17 minutes after 9.